Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, I was having a pretty good day. Welcome. How are you? Hey, how you doing? Nice to see you. I was having a pretty good day till about noon. Then I started watching the impeachment 2.0 in the Senate, the U.S. Senate, which apparently now is the most hallowed ground on the face of the earth. Which is one of our problems, by the way, and I'm going to be all over the place a little bit here today, but I do want to hear from you today on what do you think of this impeachment 2.0 going on, started yesterday, going on today, will go on for the next several days. But I'm curious, some of you are like, yep, I think this needs to happen. And that's fine if that's what you think. I don't want you to be afraid to call in and share that. I will ask you why. Because I think we need to dialogue and have a conversation about this. So I am going to keep the phones open today. So if you want to call in, just share with us, what do you think about this impeachment? Hey, Steve, it's a total sham. It's the Democrats. Or, yeah, you know, maybe it's good. No, it's terribly divisive. It's terrible for the country. You have no faith in the government anymore. Whatever the case may be, I would love to hear from you today. During the confines of the show, 866-348-7884. Is our number, as always, 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Your answer might be the same as my buddy Alan on Facebook Live, who said, I don't care. And I started watching it yesterday and I couldn't do it. I'm like, I'm not going to give them my time. But then today, okay, I'm going to give the Democrats their props here, because they are just masterful at creating a narrative in using all the, and this is a lesson for all of us, okay? There's a great lesson here for all of us that we can learn from former President Trump. And the lesson is, the more stuff you put out there and you lack a certain amount of self-control, the more that stuff will come back potentially to haunt you in the future, okay? Because believe me, when I became an activist in 2004, I did a lot of media. You know, we're not in a huge market, and I was a big fish in a little pond, I guess, and we were messing with everything, and I was willing to go on camera, TV, print, radio, whatever, which is how I kind of ended up here in the first place. But so I was never afraid to do that, but I did learn that the more I talked, you do a long interview, the more you talk, the less, once it comes out the other end of the Play-Doh machine in the media, The more you talk, the less you recognize the finished product once it comes out, because they just pull quote, they take things out of context, and they can pretty much, anybody in the media can pretty much make you sound whatever they want to make you sound like or look like, or whatever worldview they want to have or whatever thing they want to emphasize. They can do that. It's very easy to do. So Trump, with his bombastic, hyperbolic language over the last year, but especially during the campaign, during the general election, and then after the election, and then all the unfolding stuff after November 3rd, there's so much content out there, video, tweets, all that stuff, that if it were your desire, and certainly this is the desire of the Democrats, to absolutely tar and feather the guy, he's put a lot of stuff out there that they can turn around and use against him. Because all you got to do, now let's take some creative brilliance, really. It does. It takes some creative brilliance to be able to take all this stuff and pull it all together and then turn around and present it in a way. Because remember, this is not a criminal trial. This is not a judicial experience here. This is a political maneuver. This is a political experience. This is political theater. It's not judicial. And especially since the Supreme Court Justice, Chief Justice John Roberts, is like, yeah, no thanks. He's not going to be a part of that. So remember, this is, you can get all crazy about it and want lawyers to interrupt and object, but this ain't that. This is political theater. It's politics 101 to the nth degree, to a whole new level. And so you cannot hold it. I wish we could, but you can't. You can't hold it up to the same standards you would in a court of law, because this isn't a court of law. If anything, it's kind of more like a kangaroo court with Democrat Senator Leahy in charge, who already said – that he's going to vote to convict. And that's the guy that's, quote unquote, kind of the judge proceeding over over the proceedings, in charge over the proceedings. So the whole thing is just nutty. But I am curious as to what you think of it. I've got a lot of things I want to share, some of which you're probably not going to like to hear. But I'm not here to please you. I'm here to challenge you and try to inform you and to share my read on stuff the best I can, hopefully filtered as much as possible through a biblical worldview, without falling prey to political idolatry, which I've been guilty of a lot in the past. So that's what you're going to get today, but I would love to hear from you as well. 866-348-7884. What do you think about the impeachment 2.0 proceedings that started yesterday? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Pete first, calling in from Raleigh. Pete, thanks so much for calling. Go right ahead.
I'd like to know, what are they impeaching from?
What are they impeaching him from or for?
Yeah, well, from. He's not in office right now. He will be soon.
Well, the funny thing that's going on there, Pete, and that's a great question and a simple question and a straightforward question, but there's a lot more to that, and I appreciate you calling in and asking that. Well, what are they impeaching him for? Well, you constitutionally, now this is where you have a problem. Yesterday, you had six Republicans voted yesterday that they're fine with the impeachment process, even though Donald Trump is obviously not a sitting president, okay? He's not a sitting president. He's out. Whether you think he's officially out or not is not relevant for this conversation if you're waiting for March 4th or 6th or whatever. That's not relevant right now. But he's out. There's another guy in the White House. So what's the point of a political proceeding called an impeachment? It's to remove a sitting president or a sitting federal judge or somebody at that level, to remove them. Based on what? Based on their interpretation. Who's they? The House of Representatives' interpretation of whether they think they violated, quote unquote, high crimes and misdemeanors. Okay? So if the House, under the control of the Democrats in this particular instance, decides, yeah, we think this is high crimes and misdemeanors, however they choose to define that, they can bring the charges and then force it over, because this is the constitutional process, into the Senate, which conducts the trial, quote unquote. But this is not a judicial proceeding. This is a political proceeding. So what's the point of impeaching a former president? It's never happened before. They did impeach a former leader, a former military leader. They did that. But this has never happened with the presidency. We've only had four impeachments, by the way, half of which have occurred now in the last 13 months. But setting that aside, because whether it's constitutional or not, doesn't really matter, which is a problem here in the United States of America, as the Constitution, like the old hymn says, is becoming strangely dim. But for an altogether different reason than that great hymn. This is Steve Noble. We'll pick it up there when we come back. Love me a little.
There's
Johnny
a man
Cash.
Going around.
Now remember this.
Names.
Listen to this.
And he decides who to free and who to blame.
He's talking about the great white throne judgment. He's talking about Jesus.
Everybody
coming back.
Won't be treated all the same.
Nope, because there's those in the faith.
There'll be a golden ladder
outside the faith, right? Okay,
down.
So that's the deal. Remember that. If you're in Christ, welcome back. It's Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show.
Around.
Welcome back. And remember, if you're in Christ, all this stuff we're dealing with now, consternation, personal stuff, political stuff, United States of America, stuff in your family, stuff in my family, your health, my health, somebody else's health, your finances, your relationships, your marriage, your wayward kid, your disrespectful kid, whatever. And all of it's meaningful and all of it's serious. But all of that is temporary. Remember that. It's all temporary. So when I'm losing my mind like I am today, after watching about 2.5 hours of the impeachment proceedings, hold on a second. What else? What's true? Let me get back to my foundation. What's my house that is feeling tempted to shake right now? What's it built on? Oh, that's right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. The rock of Jesus Christ. I know the big picture. I know the overarching narrative. I know the descent of civilization. Then Jesus comes back and settles every account. Every injustice will be dealt with in the end. And every sinner, every sin will be paid for. It'll either be paid by you personally if you refuse to acknowledge God and reach out for forgiveness and accept it through his son, you'll pay for every one of your sins. Or Jesus already did. That's it. But every account's going to be settled. So either Jesus paid it because those individuals placed their faith in him, and the substitutionary atonement takes place, takes care of them and all of their garbage, all their sin, all my sin, I hope all of your sin. Or if you say, no thanks, I'm going to work my way in, or no thanks, that's just a bunch of bunk, I blow it off, you're going to pay for every single injustice, every single sin you've ever committed starting at whatever age, 5 or 6 or 7. Okay, that's the deal. So I go back to the rock, which gives me great peace at times like this. Okay? And that's why, as we talked about yesterday, and my buddy Bill Mann, who's on Facebook Live today, sent me his thing because I was talking about another way, a third way, and he actually wrote a blog post, which I'm going to talk about hopefully on Friday, Bill, the third way. And the third way, Christ's way, has never been a more obvious a need for it than I think right now in the history of the nation. Okay, let me jump over here to the phones real quick, talking about impeachment 2.0. Clay, sorry to have you on hold for so long. Got a bunch of callers stacked up, so try to get right to it. Thanks,
Hey, brother, there's no need for you to be sorry for keeping me on hold. I know everybody's got their viewpoint, but what I'll share in from what I'm listening to, I got to listen to, you know, the Jay Sekulow show earlier, and Brother Than and Brother Jordan and all them brought out. Here's the interesting thing. When you go back and you listen to what President Trump had to say and share, nowhere in his sharing of the words that he was sharing with the people that he was trying to get his word across to, did he say anything to it? He said it, do it peacefully. Okay, that's been so many people are saying that. See, here's the thing, the dummy cats, that's what I call them, dummy cats, have doctored several of the videos that they have tried to bring forth. Okay. And the interesting thing about it,
so hold on a second, right there. Hold on, Clay. Hold on. Here's what I'm going to say about that. Okay, doctoring is changing. Pulling things out of context is using something that exists, but only pulling out the section that helps make your point. I haven't seen anything in 2 days that I would call as doctored, pulled out of context. Absolutely, but I don't think they've actually given it to some video guy somewhere and had him change it.
Well, a couple of people pointed out that they said they brought in this professional recording team, and they've done several. But anyway, here's the thing that really got my attention. It's interesting that you have a man who was trying to do. Well, wait a minute. No, I'm sorry. Rewind the tape. Did the right things for this country, and when he was talking on two different occasions, one was when he was down in Georgia trying to get the two people on the Republican side into the Senate, but we see what happened there. And when he gave his speech on that day that things happened at the Capitol, he used the word fight many times before him. They said it was brought out. This says, why can we not just go ahead and get other people like the senators and Obama and everybody else? Because they probably have used that word. If you're going to use a word that President Trump brought out,
right? Everybody
to
does
hold
that.
Against him.
Fight
then,
for the
what?
Country. Then fight against your oppressors. Everybody does that.
You need to impeach Obama. You need to impeach Clinton. You need to impeach Bush. You need to impeach every single person that's used that word, because what they're doing, what they're doing, is using that word against him.
Sure. Well, what you're thinking, but Clay, you're thinking logically and judicially. And this is neither a logical nor judicial proceeding. This is a political proceeding. So none of that stuff
applies. And brother, I believe I have shared this with you before, that I'm not a political person. I feel that it has brought a lot of harm, more harm than good to us, like people like you and me and other people that are listening on the radio. And I don't. It's a theatric thing. Why do you need to bring theatrics into something that is probably like Brother Jay and them said earlier, that is going to divide this country just a little bit more?
Oh, sure.
And we'll see the end result. And I'm not going against you or anybody else, but brother, I know the Lord's working on this, and he's going to expose the whole thing. But anyway, I just think it's really sad that you have the dummy cats using one word specifically
use this against. Again, And this is what good lawyers do, especially if they don't have a really concrete case. They're going to gin up a lot of emotion, which is exactly what they're doing. Clay, thanks for calling. I appreciate that. I just had to get to the phones. 866-348-7884 if you want to chime in on this, impeachment 2.0. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Monique, who's calling in from Greensboro. Monique, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Thank you, brother. I'll be quick. My first thing, we have got to stop being so carnal. It doesn't. I feel like this. I mean, it's just carnality. I'm not saying some people aren't genuine believers, but there's so many black and white scriptures. You know, if God has allowed Biden in there, I don't believe it was legit either. But the hyper focus in the Democrat, this impeachment thing, it really is telling on itself because it's very accurately described hell to just hell bent on tarnishing. And I'm not someone that says, oh, we'll just pray about it and don't do anything when action is called. But it doesn't matter. He's out. I feel like God did what he did, what did through him, for him, and now he's still gone. And we can't take the attitude, well, God's going to get him. We don't know how God's going to deal with it. We know his ways are higher than our ways. So I just feel like I don't understand why we're having to say this. And as far as the impeachment, I do think it's totally ridiculous. But I also think it's very telling whether the people that are behind it realize it or not. It's very telling, and it makes even more evidence to the illegitimacy of a lot of the things I think that they came against.
Yeah.
Now the effort is just come against them, no matter
what. Right, no matter what. Right, great point. Monique, thanks for your call, as always. God bless you. Thanks so much for calling. And like Bill said on Facebook Live, maybe they just want to intimidate those who might follow in Trump's footsteps. You come in here and try to play Trump, and we're going to take you out. Oop, did I just say that? Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Good to be with you today. Just trying to process through and not lose our minds as we consider impeachment 2.0. I was watching it earlier today, about 2.5 hours worth. And thank goodness I had to take one of our kids to dance and pick her up at a class and take her to dance and then come here. And I'm like, thank you. You rescued me. I don't even think she was aware of it. But anyway, watching that today, and I only watched about 13 minutes of it yesterday is all I could take. But I will tell you this, the Democrats are masterful at creating a narrative, telling a story, pulling in tweets and video and things that Trump said, things that Trump tweeted, because he's put so much stuff out there. This is how it works. This is why I mentioned at the beginning of the show, if you're ever interviewed, the more you talk, the less you're going to end up recognizing the interview, because you give them all kinds of stuff. You put a ton of stuff on the table and they can just pick through it if they're really good at it, and they are, and pick through it and just pick the parts that are just going to make you look absolutely the worst. And then they do that. So there you go. Well, because the last week and a half or so, as the news is showing more and more across mainstream media as well, hey, this sure looks like, hey, there's a lot of stuff out here now that looks like this was totally pre-planned. There are all kinds of people involved, Proud Boys, Antifa to some extent. And listen, I've been having this back and forth argument with people, mostly on Facebook, for weeks, if not a couple of months now. You go, normal Trump rallies are never like this, except there were a couple of times, you know, somebody gets punched in the face, little things here and there. But largely, 99% of the people at Trump rallies, I'm sure, are just regular, nice people that love the country, and hopefully a decent chunk of them love the Lord. But now, people like to say there was 1 million people there. Okay, I don't think there were 1 million people there. I think there were 500,000 people. But doesn't matter. Let's go with 1 million, just to satisfy those of you that want to really plant that million-man flag in D.C. on January 6th. Do you think, is there any chance that out of that 1 million people, 1% could have been just nasty, racist, white supremacist, Proud Boy-type wackos? That vote for Trump and love Trump, that doesn't mean Trump endorses them, obviously. I guarantee you there are people that watch this show or listen to this show that I would never associate with because they're just out there, man. But does that mean I'm them? Of course not. But let's say just 1%, Do you think there's any Trump vote, 70 out of 74 million people, do you think any of them were racist? Are racist? Yes, of course. Do you think any of them are white supremacists? Yes, of course. Do you think any of them look at child pornography? Yes, of course. Do you think, see what I'm doing? Because I'm a believer in human depravity. So we've got depraved people in every group. Hey, you go to church this Sunday. You think you got some people in there watching porn? You do. You think you got some people in there struggling with this, that, and the other thing? You do. Does that mean that's what the pastor is? No. So let's say there's a million people. 1% of them are whacked out, terrible, nasty people, racist, white supremacist people. That's 10,000. 1%. 99%? Great. Come over for dinner. I'd love you to be my neighbor. You cut my grass, I'll bring in your trash. It's all good. But 1% out of a million, that's 10,000 whack jobs. Nasty people. Who are Trump supporters, by the way? And then are there agitators? Yes. How many? I don't know. Neither do you. How many Antifa people are in there? I think there were some. Was it the majority? I don't think so. But I can't prove that. Can you? Most of the people that they've actually arrested that we know of look to be kind of nasty, proud boy, white supremacist type wackos, right? And some of them saying, hey, we believe our president called us there and our president wanted us to charge Congress. I'm like, he didn't tell you to do that. That's where that's so convoluted. But for somebody to make, this is what I'm not comfortable doing anymore. I am very careful about making declarative statements about things where I don't have absolute knowledge. And how much absolute knowledge do I have? Given that I'm a human being? Well, I'm absolutely sure my finger's touching my nose right now. I'm absolutely sure that at least I'm speaking into a microphone. Am I on the radio, on Truth Radio Network, Capital Network, the Ford Broadcasting? I don't know. I assume so, but I don't know that for sure. So I'm kind of hesitant to make blanket statements assuming I know the truth. None of those people were Trump supporters. Oh, come on. Yes, they were. Setting all that aside, what's going on in the impeachment? All right, this is not in a courtroom, so those rules don't apply, especially when the judge is somebody that's also on the jury that's already said he's going to vote to convict. That would be Senator Leahy, right? It's a joke. It's like a kangaroo court. It's not a judicial proceeding. It's a political proceeding based on political will, which the Democrats, the vast majority of Democrats, have had more political will than the Republicans for decades now, which is part of our problem, and that's part of explaining why Trump won in the first place. Because people were sick of mamby-pamby rhinos, and they wanted a fighter in there, and that's what they got. That's what we got. We wanted a fighter, we got a fighter. So what's going on now? Yesterday, I'm like, listen, this is all, it's a colossal waste of time. It's a big joke. It's a political maneuver. They're just trying to pound some extra nails in the guy's coffin because they absolutely hate him. But what I saw today in 2.5 hours of watching this troubled me because you need 67 senators to convict the president on these impeachment charges. Okay, 67. Which would require 17 Republicans. They go, no way 17 Republicans are going to vote to convict. Well, six of them already tilted their hand yesterday and voted with the Democrats that this is completely constitutional, no problem. So Mitt Romney, Murkowski, people like that, Ben Sasse, they tilted their hand. And one other guy, I think he's from Louisiana, switched. And so he voted that it wasn't constitutional before when Paul Ryan called for that vote. And then yesterday he voted that it is. So he switched. So now they've got six that are perfectly comfortable voting to convict. They showed us that yesterday. So now you're down to only needing 11 Republicans. Can you get them? Well, the Democrats are doing a masterful job of making this really emotional appeal. And even though we know that a lot of this stuff that took place in the Capitol on January 6th, and this is coming out in mainstream media even, is that pre-planned stuff. So how can you incite a crowd to do something some of them were already planning to do? Well, the Democrats know how to play this game, manipulation of information. They're really good at it. So they're using that as part of their narrative. Of course Donald Trump knew all these people were going to be doing this. Of course. He knew the bomb was being built. He knew that it was being put in place that day. He called them knowing that some of them were violent, knowing that some of them would be armed. And then he pointed them to the Capitol, and then they haven't said this yet, but they will. And then even when he said, now we're going to go down there and peacefully be patriotic, that's like with a wink and a nod, right? Hey, I'm winking at you. See my wink? Go down there and be peaceful. When he knew the whole time that these radical elements were there. He wanted to be there. And then Ben Sasse came out recently and said, hey, I heard from inside the White House that Donald Trump couldn't understand why the rest of his staff wasn't elated when the people were breaking into the Capitol. A Ben Sasse, who can't stand the president, is saying he heard, air quotes, from somebody inside the White House, air quotes. And what do you do with that? Wow. I don't know. Is that true? And if you're hardcore pro-Trump, you say, no, Ben Sasse is a liar. If you're a hardcore Democrat, you say, of course it's true. But do you know? Do I know? I don't. Do I think 11 Republicans could be swung by the emotional appeal of what's going on with the Kabuki theater going on in the Senate as they piece together things and paint their narrative and create this story? It all depends on how the political winds are blowing back in their own state. Because this is, for most of these people up on the Hill, it's CYB, cover your butt. And so what are they worried about? They're worried about the next election, especially if you've got one in 2 years as a U.S. senator. So they're licking their finger, putting it up in the air, and seeing which way the political winds are blowing. And if they think that it might actually hurt them to not vote to convict, then they're going to be tempted to vote. And this emotional play that's going on in the U.S. Senate today, which has turned impeachment into nothing more than two opposing drama teams trying to present a narrative and a story to tug at your heartstrings. That's what it is. It's not a judicial proceeding. It has nothing to do with logic or the law. It's purely political, which means they're in there. And my concern is Trump's lawyers are going to act and treat it like it's like they're in a courtroom, but they're not. They're in a political theater. And I don't know that they're up to that. And so do I think there's 11 more Republicans that could be swung? No, probably not. But yesterday, I'm like, this is a waste of time. There's no way they would actually convict. Today, I'm like, I don't know. People are awfully easily manipulated. People are afraid. And there's plenty of Republicans in the Senate that are just playing the game. I think they'll probably hold the line. But man, is it sobering to watch all this and to see what's happening to our nation. And then, of course, and I've seen this in comments today on Facebook where I've been sharing a few thoughts on, like I'm sharing with you now. The country is unity. Forget it. That's out the door. The divide is deeper and wider every day. The cold civil war continues. And this is just pouring more gas on the fire. So what do we do as Christians? Well, we better be in prayer, and I got a couple other things to say about that. You want to react? I'd still love to hear from you. 866-348-7884. 866-34-TRUTH. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you today. Impeachment 2.0, which is going on yesterday, today, tomorrow, Friday. Will it go into next week? I don't know. Are they going to call witnesses? Well, as of yesterday, they weren't sure about that. I think they probably will. And just to kind of keep playing the narrative, it's like this unfolding drama, this narrative. They're cutting and pasting and pulling things out of context. But they're really good at it. I got to give them that. I mean, I was watching about 2.5 hours today. I'm like, wow, this is If you get caught up in your emotions and only what you're being presented, you could easily be swayed in a certain direction. And unfortunately, in this digitally soaked, entertainment soaked, Netflix soaked world of ours, that's kind of what we do. And people, there's a way that seems right to man, and in the end, it leads to destruction, right? And so we all, if you're in Christ, cling to a biblical worldview, cling to the truth. The only solid truth on the earth is the truth of God. That is reality. And everything else, as it strays away from that, is just madness and craziness. Which is then they go, our nation's mad, man. It's going crazy. You're right, it is. Because that's the definition of crazy, is being out of touch with reality. What's reality? Reality is that which is true. Well, what is true? Now you sound like Pontius Pilate. Get it? That's how it works. Let's go over to Taylor calling in from Winston-Salem. Taylor, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Hey, Steve. How's it going?
Okay. Thanks for asking. How are you?
Yeah. Besides all this stuff.
Yeah.
Well, as I've been watching this unfold, you know, last summer, and I think political theater is definitely the correct term to use for all of this, it didn't even seem reasonable that Joe Biden would even be running for president. He didn't even seem like a reasonable candidate to me.
Yeah.
You know, as we see further and further as the story unfolds, how much has been planned, how much has been in the works, you know, it's really mind-boggling to me. And it seems like the world is almost an unrecognizable place as I'm looking around at all of this. But from, you know, going down to just a logical, you know, eyewitness, I'm watching it on TV, of course, as everything's unfolding on January 6th, it doesn't make any sense to me. Why would you want to create chaos in the Capitol when your purpose was to bring to light the electoral vote? It doesn't make any sense. And it seems like the whole thing would just dissolve right there. It's like, well, these outside influences came in and, you know, disrupted the whole thing. So, you know, it obviously wasn't Trump. I mean, that's the way that I look at it.
Yeah, because what good did it bring? I mean, what's been the result? Now you can paint, and again, like I said earlier, and I don't know if you were listening to the show at the time, the last time Steve Dace was on, Taylor, he's with the Blaze, Glenn Beck's network, and he said, listen, we're no longer a nation of law, we're a nation of political will. And so the Democrats have the political will and the wherewithal and the shrewdness, quite frankly, to then take what happened on January 6th. And they're like, wow, that's a really big brush. And we can paint all 74 million Trump voters with that brush. And you're all psychopaths and you're all insurrectionists and you're dangerous to the country. And we need to stop you. Thus, big tech and everybody else gets involved. And we got to shut everybody down because you guys are insurrectionists trying to destroy the country. And that they have the political will to play that game. I don't know what kind of political will the Republicans have.
I agree, and I try not to be someone that looks at things, you know, too skeptically as far as, you know, I don't want to be a conspiracy type person, but it seems that everything that's happened in the last 6 months has been, well, even a year. I mean, go back to where we were a year from today.
Pre-COVID.
Everything seems too calculated. It seems like it's the timing is too perfect for everything, and you know, and I understand that's why people buy into conspiracy theories, but, man, I'm ready for Jesus to come back.
Amen, bro. What a great way to end a great call. Taylor, thanks so much for calling and for sharing that today. Thanks
for
listening. All right, man, thanks.
Thanks for everything.
You're welcome. God bless you. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. My brain was exploding as Taylor was saying. It's just all too perfect. The timing, COVID, the election, yada, yada, all this stuff. And that's when I sit there and go, man, well, the timing is all too perfect, which makes it sound like perhaps there's forces outside of what we're seeing that are involved here. And that's, and again, some people are, especially younger people, I mean, our youngest child, she's 16, not so much a child anymore, although I'm going to hold on to that. But she's like, you know, I'm getting a little freaked out with all the end times talk and preaching and this is it, man, Jesus is coming back soon, but we know there's a tribulation and a great tribulation, there's that, and this stuff's just freaking me out because it's really uncomfortable to think about that. And again, it's not for us to know the exact time, but we are to pay attention to the seasons. And to your point, in 1 year, look, 1 year ago today, COVID wasn't, nobody's wearing a mask unless you lived in Japan. But COVID and the election and Biden of all people, the non-candidate, the non-election, the non-campaign, and that's all it would take because it was never about Joe Biden. I can't remember where I read this, but somebody in the fall after the election said, hey, you know what? Everybody was a Trump voter. Got 150, 155, 160 million voters. They were all Trump voters. Almost none of them were Biden voters. They were all Trump voters, either for or against. But how does Biden get into the White House? And at least they knew they had a problem because you got an old white establishment guy. How do you balance that ticket out? You need a young person of color, female. Otherwise, it's just so obvious. But I look at all this stuff and go, man, I've never seen things change as rapidly and as expansively as I have in the last 12 months, which gives me an indication that there's some spiritual forces at play here. And that they and that we're moving much closer, like our last caller said. And come on back, Jesus. I'm ready. Come on back. That's good. But I also remember, and here's a big point. Let's say Jesus is going to come back this year. 2021's the year. I'm not saying that he is, so relax. I'm not one of those guys. I know the scriptures. It's not our place. But let's just go with me here for a second. Let's say that he is. I'm trying to help us. What do we do? How now shall we live? This is the question we're wrestling with now on this show. This is probably the theme for 2021. How now shall we live? If Jesus comes back this year, how many people do you know or are aware of or are around that are most likely going to go to hell when Jesus comes back? How many? Because the reality is, here in America and around the world, it's most. Here in America, did you know that convictional Christians that regularly attend church has, in the last 100 years, has never really been much more than about 22 to 23% of the population? The faux church, as I call it, mainline denominations, liberal churches, all that stuff is falling away. It's going the way of the world. It's great falling away. It's falling away. But the actual church, convictional Christians that believe God's word, full of the Holy Spirit, convictional Christians go regularly, in fellowship regularly, and try to apply a rigorous biblical worldview to their daily lives. 22, 23% of the population. In terms of biblical worldview, Barna research would show in the last 15 years, only about 13% of the population is actually born again. So let's go with that number. 13%, which means 87% of the people in the country right now, let's say above the age of six, are destined for hell, right? Unless what? Now, I'm not going to get into free will and election here, but the vast, because Jesus said few there are that go that way. Well, what's few? Well, it's 2 or 3 out of 10, okay? Few there are that go that way. So what business should we be about? Well, we got to get Trump back in 2024. What if Jesus comes back this year? Do you think politics matters anymore? Nope, it doesn't. Do you think Joe Biden matters anymore? Nope, it doesn't. I mean, think about that for a second. How would our lives change if, in fact, you knew? Don't know the day or the hour, but let's say it's this year sometime. How would that change? Who would you talk to? Who would you text? What would you post? Who would you converse with? Would that change the interaction you have with your neighbors? Because the deal is, friends, that we're supposed to live as if today is that day. That's the trick. To the Walcotts on Facebook Live, share the gospel. Bada bing. Now, does that mean that's all we should do? Well, if you look at the grand scheme of things and how we use our time, yes, our time should be more gospel-driven than anything else. Now, that doesn't mean we abandon the here and the now, because people are suffering. There's real things as a result of bad thinking, and people suffer, made in the image of God, not the least of which are the preborn. But there better be a lot of activity in our lives, discipleship to build up the church and the body, and evangelism to share the gospel, to make sure that our personal witness is going to be somewhat close to our proclamation. So we try to live above reproach, which is not giving people an easy reason to doubt you. And Anne, thank you. Teach me to number my days. Okay? So what's our job? To Bill's point on Facebook Live, our job in this day and time is not to bring Trump back. It's to change lives of those around us and bring them to the gospel. That's right. And by the way, think about this as we finish up. If God told you, hey, you know what? All I want you to do for the rest of the year is live in accordance with your faith, live in accordance with my word, to the best of your ability. I know you're going to fall, but be a good ambassador. And as often as you can, share the good news of what I've done for everybody through my son. That's all I want you to do this year. That's all I'm going to hold you accountable for. So you don't have to worry about politics. Don't worry about Biden. Don't worry about Trump. I'll deal with all that stuff in a different way. What I want you to do is to be a great ambassador and share the gospel, love people well, which will then reinforce when you share the gospel why they should listen to you. That's what I want you to do. How freeing would that be? How nice would that be if God directly told you? Well, guess what? That kind of is the deal. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, we'll talk again real soon. Tomorrow on Theology Thursday, we'll talk about the inerrancy of Scripture with Pastor Grant Castleberry. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.